ABC Radio Australia.
A coordinated online disinformation campaign aimed at strengthening Indonesia's claim over West Papua has been uncovered by researchers at the University of Melbourne. One of those researchers is Dave McRae, a senior research fellow who joins us now on the line. Good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning.
So tell us more. What have you discovered in your research when it comes to this disinformation campaign around West Papua?
So we focused in particular on the decision last year of the Indonesian government to extend special autonomy for West Papua by 20 years. That's a key plank of Indonesian governance, I guess, in what we'd call Papua, Papua Province, West Papua Province, and three newly created provinces. And it was a source of disaffection for many Papuans. And in the months leading into the government decision on whether or not special autonomy would be extended, and in what form, we saw thousands of Twitter users suddenly posting tens of thousands of messages in support of special autonomy that were meant to look like unconnected accounts making spontaneous messages in support of this policy. But once we dug into the pattern of those posts and the features of the accounts posting them, as well as the contents of the messages, it became clear this was anything but uncoordinated and spontaneous, and in fact it looked like a single entity was directing all of these accounts.
A single entity? So do you know who that entity might be?
Well, I guess we looked at the content of the posts rather than having the opportunity to travel to Indonesia to delve into this. So the most we can say is that it's a pro-government actor, and in fact one of the attractions of campaigns like this to governments around the world is that they're difficult to pin definitively on governments. They can outsource these sorts of campaigns to public relations firms or consultants. It gives a plausible deniability. And because platforms like Twitter are not very transparent in providing researchers access to their platforms, it's slow and difficult also to attribute these to particular actors. So we can say it benefited the Indonesian government. The content of the posts were highly aligned with contemporaneous Indonesian messaging, but we can't in this case definitively say the Indonesian government was responsible for it, even though other researchers have shown that the Indonesian government, in its own domestic politics, also runs this sort of disinformation campaign in support of its policies.
So this campaign was to try and sway voters, is it? Just to sway Indonesians who might have voted on this proposal around West Papua, is that right?
Well, there's no vote per se because of handled by the Indonesian parliament, which was elected back in 2019. It's more, I guess, public opinion within Indonesia. Because all of these messages were in Indonesian language, there's previously been disinformation campaigns detected on Papua in English and in Dutch. This one was clearly aimed at maintaining the idea within Indonesia that special autonomy enjoyed widespread support. And moreover, I guess, just to crowd out democratic discourse and debate on West Papua. When there have been large-scale protests within Papua, the Indonesian government has blocked the internet, turned the internet off at times there. You see harassment both online and I guess in the real world of critics of Indonesian governance in Papua, Indonesian critics and sort of people in Papua criticizing Indonesian governance. And so when you post so many messages in support of special autonomy, that it's difficult for anyone but the most committed reader to really understand what the genuine contours of the debate are. That's just another restriction on democratic discussion of the situation there.
Is it, so very interesting. So I guess that's the disinformation at the heart that you discovered in this campaign, that they were, I guess, trying to sell that there was more support for these autonomous regions than there might be. I mean, have we found that to be effective? Do we know if this disinformation campaign actually did change minds there in Indonesia?
Well, that sort of thing is difficult to measure. It would require sort of extensive surveying. What we can say about a campaign like this is it wasn't very sophisticated. There are things that you can do to make a campaign like this more effective that we see around the world. You can more convincingly build the profiles of the accounts who are making these posts, so that they don't just post about special autonomy, but they post about other things. They have a more believable profile. But in fact, we found a high proportion of accounts making these posts had a blank author description, and they were created just before this campaign began, much more recently than users as a whole. You can use the hashtags of democratic activist groups or independence activists and make it look like people having those sort of discussions actually favour Indonesian government policies. So the campaign didn't do that. Again, what it did do is it just posted so much material that it would become difficult for others to have a discussion in that domain, because if people were searching for special autonomy, a lot of what they would come across would be these sorts of messages. So I guess we can't directly say it changed minds. We can just say it made it a lot more difficult for people to have a discussion independent of this pro-government material.
Yeah, I'm just imagining people sort of yelling out, and even if the campaign's a bit sloppy, I guess the sheer number of voices might drown out any effective discussion on it. Is that a good analogy to have when it comes to this sort of Twitter campaign?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, some of this sloppiness comes about, again, because governments often outsource this sort of campaign. And so we see around the world from other scholars as well, the idea that the people who are creating this material really don't care much about the quality of it, as long as it's good enough that whoever's paying for it is happy enough to make the payment, then it's job done from their point of view. And so you get the sorts of features that we see in this campaign where, you know, although there were tens of thousands of tweets, when we then looked at the wording of those tweets, they actually boiled down to sets of duplicates of more like 1,300 distinct tweets. So not only were the accounts posting these not all that convincing, they posted identical or almost identical text over and over again in the most common case. You know, you had 286 versions of the one tweet, all posted in the same 2 minutes of the day over the course of several months.
Interesting. Sorry to interrupt you there. If you are just tuning in to Pacific Beat here on your Monday morning, we're speaking with Dave McRae, a senior research fellow at the University of Melbourne's Asia Institute. And we're speaking about this new research that Dave was a part of that has found a coordinated online disinformation campaign aimed at strengthening Indonesia's claim over West Papua. Now, Dave, this is not the first time that we've seen sort of online campaigns, particularly around this issue of West Papua. But you mentioned that there have been other campaigns that sort of use a similar strategy. So is it not just this issue that we do see such disinformation campaigns in Indonesia? Are there other, you know, issues, other controversial issues perhaps that we see this online disinformation happen?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, there's been a number of Indonesian researchers, if people went to an online magazine called Inside Indonesia, they could access a lot of their work there. But I guess disinformation in Indonesia, as it does in many places, originally sprung out of electoral campaigning, and so kind of running dirty campaigns to discredit political opponents. And then once you have that infrastructure set up, it becomes very tempting when those candidates win office to just continue using it. So we've seen, I guess, contentious debates about the weakening of Indonesia's anti-corruption commission, about passing so-called omnibus law on job creation that many people within Indonesia felt weakened worker rights. And when these campaigns have been running, you know, we've both seen, again, these sorts of furious messages in support of those policies, as well as very active government-aligned social media users, people who'd be called buzzers within Indonesia, directly harassing people who criticize those policies and directing other internet users to harass them. So certainly we see this use of disinformation conducted at arm's length, but in some of those other campaigns, researchers do feel they've definitively pinned it on the government, being used across a range of political issues in Indonesia and indeed in many other countries.
And your research has suggested that this may be a strategy of zone flooding. I've never come across that term before, zone flooding. Can you explain a bit what that means?
Yeah, so that goes back to, again, this idea of you have a zone within which discussion is being conducted, and you flood it with a particular type of material, making it difficult to have a genuine discussion in that space. That is a term that actually originates from American politics and, you know, the floods of disinformation that we've seen on a whole range of political issues there. But, you know, certainly in disinformation, and I think any field, you have these kind of, quaint terminology. Another one that you commonly see for this sort of campaign is researchers terming it as astroturfing. So basically making a fake campaign, a bit like AstroTurf, instead of having a genuine grass lawn that's meant to look like a real grassroots campaign. But of course, many of them, again, there's not enough effort put into making the accounts look genuine. There's not much effort put into the messages, given that they're sets of duplicates of another. So when you do have researchers come along with data science tools and access to the back end of these platforms, they can be detected.
What's the solution to this? You mentioned there that it's difficult for Twitter, or Twitter isn't transparent on these disinformation campaigns. Is it their responsibility, these social media platforms' responsibility, to do something, or is it somewhere or someone else that can help stop this?
It certainly is the platform's responsibility, but they have a clear interest in not being all that transparent about the extent of disinformation on their platforms. If you look at Elon Musk and his on-again, off-again purchase of Twitter, one of the ways he tried to get out of buying it in the first place was saying, oh, hang on, I've suddenly found a lot of Twitter users are actually bots. It does damage the reputation of these platforms when disinformation is detected on them. So to simply leave it to them and say, make sure you detect it and please be as transparent as you want to be, I don't think is really going to work. And so, I think you need pressure from governments on Twitter, Facebook and other social media platforms to be more transparent, to provide more access to researchers without restrictions so that these campaigns can be detected more quickly. I think you also need other governments in their dealings with governments who are using disinformation to bring this up. So look, we're aware that this, that these sort of campaigns are happening. They're benefiting you, and in some cases you're responsible. Could you refrain from doing this? And of course, it also requires the governments making those sort of representations to refrain from disinformation tactics themselves. And of course, we've recently seen reports that the sort of defense establishment in the US has had some of its social media posts removed as disinformation as well.
Wow, interesting. Is there anything that we can do as social media users to detect some of this disinformation and perhaps steer away from it?
Well, I think the main thing is to approach anything you see online with a critical eye. If something looks a bit odd, these messages do look a little bit odd. They're kind of lengthy statements in support of government policies. They're quite polished for just the average social media user to be posting. Exercise some skepticism, do a bit of digging. We can all be critical in the way that we consume information online. But the attraction of these campaigns to governments and pro-government actors is that they are difficult to say definitively that they're inauthentic. It really takes data science capabilities, programming capabilities, and a fair bit of time and resources to get in and drill down and be able to show so many features of these messages and accounts on a systematic level to say that this is all the one campaign. For individual users, be critical, it's too much to expect the average social media user to be able to map out the entire contours of a campaign like this, and that's why it's attractive to the people who are running these campaigns.